guys, welcome to Podtacular episode 270, where we'll be discussing the future of MLG, and today is January 12th, 2012.
Welcome to Podtacular episode 270. I am your host, Duststorm, and with me today are three knowledgeable people in the MLG realm, which I am not one of them. So these guys are here to kind of help talk about the future of MLG, where Halo is headed, what we can see, circuit for the next year, and whatnot. So starting off, we have Anti-Pro, former lead of Arm the Flag and photographer for MLG.
What's going on, guys?
How's it been hanging? You've been on the show once before, right?
Yeah, I was actually on the show, like, I think it was when Halo Reach first came out, and we were, like, running around on maps, like, trying out all the new weapons and stuff.
Yeah.
It wasn't an actual podcast. It was, like, you know, you were doing it live.
Oh, I remember that. Oh, that's right.
All those crazy shenanigans.
I do remember that. Wow. Yeah, that was horrible.
We're going to end it at that.
Yeah, we'll end it there.
Never speak of that day again.
We also have Jack Fire Dragon from Cyberline Films.
Hello.
Hello.
We don't really have good memories with live podcasts, do we?
For Cyberline, no, not really.
But it seems like you have trouble with everyone else doing live podcasts.
We haven't even tried a live thing for Cyberline, though.
Well, not live stream, but we've tried doing it whilst doing something else, and
yes,
yeah, they don't really work.
No. Speaking of which, I need to go back and find that video. Oh, gosh.
All I know is the whole time we did it, I can't play the game and do stuff and like talk
at the same time. Yeah.
Because you were like having me explain what Arm the Flag was and everything, and I'm sitting here like, Arm the Flag. And then I would like kill three people and be like, oh wait, yeah, so
yeah, there was about 20 minutes of actual good content, and the rest of it was us like slacking off and trying the armor lock glitch where if you stood on top of someone and you could shoot someone off the map or something like that.
I did that in my sleep.
Yeah.
Dude, I have so many. I just noticed I have so many packs of gum. Do you guys want some gum?
Sure, you have spearmint.
I have like five packs of five gum right
those
here.
Are like virtual gum? You got any virtual gum?
Yeah, man, I'll email you some.
I got it in the bag. I just got it.
Nice. Got some too.
Ooh.
Minty.
Meanwhile, back in the podcast.
Our third guest is Cheeky, former coach of THO Infamous.
What's good, you guys?
It's pretty good. Halo's good.
Halo is good. It's a beautiful thing.
MLG's good.
On some days.
On some days or Sundays?
Mainly Sundays.
Wow. Yeah.
All right. So I know this show isn't going to appeal to the majority of our listeners, but I do know we have a few people that focus on MLG, and this show is definitely for you. So we do take time out to try to focus on the professional and other sides of Halo that's not just kind of the comedy community stuff. So one of the first things we want to go ahead and kind of get out of the way, since we didn't cover it when it happened, was kind of the finals for the 2011 circuit, and kind of talk about those results. And since I really didn't get a chance to follow it, I'm gonna let these three guys talk about it.
Oh man.
So we're just gonna talk about it for about 5-10 minutes. So
okay.
Let's go.
So, talk about kind of what teams you were expecting to win and how compared to how they actually placed. Like, I know there were some teams that were expected to do pretty well, and they kind of ended up doing shitty. So, what are you guys' opinions on those?
Yeah, about that.
Not pointing any fingers, not trying to insinuate anything, but...
I was going to say that I was rooting for THO Infamous. But apparently those guys didn't want to win. I'm sorry, Rob. I love you.
I love you too. It's okay.
Oh, man. But honestly, I personally was really rooting for Instinct as well as THO Infamous. But the thing with Instinct is they kind of, you know, powerhouse Wilson, and you know they dropped Raleigh and that was kind of like the start of them kind of, you know, being out of the picture. And I think that overall, I think that the 2011 season, I think that they performed the best overall, and I think they deserved it. So I was kind of happy to see them take it over Warriors. I think it was Warriors, right?
Yeah, it was Warriors.
So that was pretty cool to see. And I believe the hype kind of surprised me too, getting all the way through losers. That's kind of cool.
Well, I mean, you look at Believe the Hype, and you just gotta look at Game 2 versus Turning Point. They lose that, they're not placing top 8. That was just such a big game for them. I don't know if you remember that game. That's the game they pulled back 49-46. Remember that game?
I did not see it because I was taking pictures.
Okay.
I was in the pro lounge warming up with the team.
Man, like, it's funny because I always tell everyone, like, even though I'm there working, I have to run around just enough that I have no idea what's going on in any of the games.
It's just kind of no results here and there.
I just know the results. I know who won.
Well, I mean, that game was basically the start of Believe the Hype's run through winner's bracket and loser's bracket and the end of Turning Point, basically. That game was just a complete... I mean, you could just see it in all their faces. With Believe the Hype going crazy and Turning Point, they just lost all momentum they had. And it was kind of depressing for me because, you know, I mean, it's... I have to say, and I'm a complete fanboy, but Turning Point was the team that I supported. No offense, GP, I'm sorry.
Oh, typical.
I'm sorry, I have to say it.
No, Turning Point, you know, it was sad to see them, you know, kind of go because, you know, I've always been a fan of Walshy, and then, like, you know, the new person on the scene, like, Ninja, like, I've talked to him here and there or whatever, and... It's kind of funny. Like, I like Ninja just because of, I don't know what the word I'm looking for. Like,
he's crazy.
He's crazy. Yeah. he's crazy. You know, like, it kind of brings me back to the old days of MLG, like, where, you know, people aren't afraid to, like, talk shit on each other and everything. So,
yeah.
And it was kind of also interesting because, if you guys remember Turning Point's coach, the event before, Tiberius Oddly,
yeah.
He actually joined the MLG staff, and I roomed with him during Providence. So it was really cool to, like, talk to him because he kind of had, like, the inside scoop on everything. So that's pretty tight. But it sucks, though, the Turning Point. It'll be interesting to see where all those players end up going next season.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to talk too much about the future of Turning Point because that's later on. But, you know, right. I think they could. I mean, the Ninja Mitquin duo can do stuff. That they could really go far, but it depends who they pick up.
Yeah, I was gonna say Tyler and Austin, they do work very well, and it's not only I guess a great way to put it is they have fun playing the game. Most people don't actually enjoy playing the game, and that's unfortunate because, you know, if the majority of the pro players actually enjoyed playing it, I think they would do a lot better. And I mean, it's not their fault that, you know, I mean, I love Reach and everything, but some parts of it are a little broken, and, you know, I know 343 Industries is doing their best to fix those, but, I mean, you know, there's nothing you can do about it. But I guess some teams that I thought were going to do well was, you know, unfortunately, you know, my team had their downfall. We weren't mentally there. It was very unfortunate. I usually do a prediction right before every event, and I usually predict exactly where my team's going to place. And I had us in the top 4. I didn't have us winning. I didn't have us second. I just had us, you know, third or fourth, because I knew other teams were going to be more prepared than us. And I actually did have Instinct winning it because, you know, they did put in the time. They did, you know, they did everything the correct way they were supposed to. And, you know, other pro teams were just completely slacking off, and that's their fault.
I mean, not to just completely just, like, make you feel bad, but, I mean, what actually happened? What really happened? Because
with my team?
With Infamous, yeah. Because I cannot imagine going from first in Raleigh to what happened in Providence. I couldn't understand the lineup.
So, the lineup was honestly the stacked. I think if they were playing, like, 110%, we could have easily done a repeat just like Raleigh. you know, one of the reasons why we didn't do good at Raleigh was, you know, I made a mistake on Saturday night and we wound up paying for it. But, you know,
Rockets.
Yeah. I forgot about Rockets. Pretty big deal. Then on Sunday, you know, we played our game, you know, it was our time, and we showed everybody, you know, we were not there to screw around. We were actually there to win, and we wound up taking it. But you know, things happen. I know a lot of stuff happened online when they were playing. They would start, you know, getting angry with each other, doing stupid things. You know, the unfortunate part is that, I guess not everybody's at the maturity level that they should be at, I guess, with playing up. You know, they're called professionals, yeah. So they should be playing, you know, they should be professional in how they act and, you know, the way that they represent themselves. I mean, I'm not saying they weren't professional, but, you know, some of these guys, kids, they're just not there. Like, they don't know how to act, you know, correctly with their peers. And it's unfortunate, but, you know, I guess that's what kind of happened. But it was kind of like a quarrel between two sets of groups inside the team. And I mean, it was just unfortunate, I guess.
Yeah. It was just kind of weird because I always thought like Lethal and Blaze would definitely stick together. I mean, they're not a two, are they, anymore? They're not a team.
They're not.
Yeah, I mean, it was weird. I always saw them like the Ninja Mick with Lethal Blaze, but I guess not.
Nope.
negative on that one.
That's a negative. Oh,
but it was kind of interesting because especially with, you know, the last couple of events, it seemed like some teams that were doing really well slacked off, and some teams that had slacked off like started doing like really well. Especially with like you guys and Instinct being like each end of the spectrum, and then like I said with what
I thought you said. No, you keep going.
Keep going.
Keep going.
Keep going.
Keep it moving.
But like, and like Turning Point, for instance, like I thought that they had that you know, chemistry and everything, but apparently they did not either. So it's kind of interesting to see all the things change, you know, over the last couple of events.
I don't know if it's just because I've paid more attention to it this season, or maybe it's been more evident, but it seems like those kind of swings have been kind of prominent this season compared to the last couple of years.
We've seen
like a massive shift in dynamics between teams, and we see a lot more players going between teams between events, which I thought was kind of odd. It's kind of weird because you look at, and I know we're talking about like gaming compared to like other professional leagues, but if you look at teams, they only trade through like off seasons, where we have an MLG, we have players trading between events, and it almost makes you wonder, is there really enough time between those trades for teams to really develop and perform well in these events?
Well, I mean, I think that's why people will where there are a lot of people who won't recognize gaming as a professional sport because of things like that. Because it just seems like, with the way the people just get thrown around from team to team, it just seems like a I wouldn't say a kid's game, but it just doesn't seem that professional to do that. Like, I think if you pick a team, you can go through, let's say, a season, like Status Quo. I mean, they had a lot of stuff where they were going to go do the Dynaquo stuff, but, you know, they start together throughout the season.
Dynaquo.
What's your opinion on that, Cheeky?
I mean, I would love to see teams stay together more, because, you know, it was just like, I guess, the final boss and Carbon. People got attached to those teams because those teams never changed. You know, they were dominant, and, you know, it just shows, you know, with staying together and getting to know your teammates better and outside of the game, inside of the game, you know, just shows the dominance that you can have. Like Status Quo, you know, I don't think they didn't place out of the top eight all season long, which, I mean, in my opinion, if you get top eight, you should be happy. I really don't care. I mean, for them, yeah, it's about the money, but you should just be happy with it. I mean, I'm not saying, I guess I'm not saying, you know, be happy with it, but, you know, you got top eight. You got top eight out of the world. You know, that's actually a big accomplishment. You know, maybe you didn't practice a lot. You know, maybe, you know, you had some issues or, you know, like team changes. Like, unfortunately, the Status Quo Dynaquo thing, you know, I think that hurt them a little bit. You know, as I said, it didn't hurt their trust, but you know, it's gonna hurt your it's gonna hurt your teammates' trust if you don't think they're gonna stick with you. It's just, it's gonna happen. You know, deep down inside, you know, it's gonna happen. But I think what MLG is trying to do, which was a little late, I guess, is they're trying to keep teams together more often now. Which I know is something they want to start doing in 2012. Because I guess another thing I wanted to say was like, you know, a bunch of the reason why there's so many team swaps and whatnot is because some people weren't playing a lot because they really didn't enjoy the game. And then they would get dropped from a top tier team, you know, after placing really bad. And then they would get the drive back again to play well and try and get back on a top team again. But, you know, you can't do that. You've got to play well the whole time and just give it your all.
Right.
And it's sad to see people do that, but I guess that's, you know, like you said, it's not really a kid's game, but in actuality, it kind of is.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you kind of brought up an interesting point where the game is definitely dominated by young adults who aren't necessarily as mature yet. So I guess you could kind of contribute some of that trading off to maybe be part of that. But I mean, like you said, the lack of maturity kind of plays a big part in some of the team dynamic.
Oh yeah.
So, and that's one thing that, I mean, you don't see in the pro sports because you're talking about people that are in their mid to late 20s already, where when you're talking about MLG, you have people that are in their late teens or early 20s. So.
Exactly. But also, I guess also another thing on that is right now, you know, esports isn't as big as it could be.
Right.
Where I see it being in the next 5-10 years, I see it being basically close to the NFL, MLB. It's not going to be your conventional sport, but it's going to be, you know, our electronic sport. But, you know, they're dealing with millions of dollars, and we're only dealing with, you know, $400, you know, right. A stipend, or, you know, maybe you get, like, an extra $400 for going to the event or something like that. You know, they're not dealing with huge prize purses right now, but, I mean, you know, sooner or later, you know, the StarCraft guys, those guys play for huge purses, but unfortunately they're not a team game.
Right.
But
I mean, it's a testament to MLG, though, that there has been a steady growth of people interested in it. So it definitely will get up there. I think it's just a matter of kind of our generation filling out what's there right now. And once we get there, we're probably going to see a more prominent presence of professional gaming come out. Probably within, exactly. Say, the next 5-10 years.
Exactly.
So I think for that, it's just a matter of time. And you see some other quote unquote professional groups or people that are actually playing for a reason in tournaments. For people who know him, I played with Naked Eli in a community night, and he's been kind of advertising this big teambattle.net where they're kind of trying to be the professional big team place to go, and they have tournaments and stuff or something like that. So you definitely see these other communities popping out, and It's just a matter of our generation coming into the space and starting to pay attention to this kind of stuff more.
I mean, I think what we need is that what's happened now, the difference between Halo 2 and moving on through 3 and Reach, is that people have stopped following teams. They just follow players now, and they just support the players rather than the teams. But, I mean, I've brought this point up before.
Well, I mean, are they really teams at this point with how much trading's going on?
They're just players.
Do you what about the idea of making a franchise? I know that sounds kind of like completely over the top.
World Series of Video Games, I think, tried to do that, where they had like franchise teams like based in different parts of the country, where you had to actually try out for the team, just like you would like a baseball team. And they had like the minor leagues and the major leagues and so on and so forth. I don't necessarily think that is the best model to follow. You know, personally, I think that the future of gaming in general, I think that people need to take a look at the way that I think teams, you know, should work out. Like if you look in the past, and I'm sorry to stray off of Halo, but if you look at some of like you know, what teams do in StarCraft, where they, you know, stay together, practice together, live together. Like, that's a pretty cool, you know, thing to consider. And if I think that if like the teams stay together and have that like camaraderie, and you know they would actually stick together, like especially like Status Quo, you know, like we've been mentioning them because they stayed together for the longest time.
Right.
Did they actually get the record for staying together the longest?
Yes, they did.
Okay. And just like Rob said, like if you know the only proof you need is the fact that they've consistently been in the top eight and they've been doing a fantastic job. And then if you think, you know, back, I can't remember what year it was, with, was it Straight Rippin' had like a team house, I think?
2008.
I don't know how, I don't even, it's a while ago. How did they do in 2008? I'm not.
They won. They won the 2008 championship.
Yeah.
Is that the year they won the whole thing? Okay.
Yeah.
And that in on itself is a testament of, you know, that model. And I think that, you know, if teams, you know, can come together, you know, find sponsors to support them and just stick together, like they'll do great, and they will also be able to build their image. And if they build their image, you know, now people have a team to support, and esports as, you know, as a whole, or at least in the Halo side of things, I think will definitely grow, because I think being able to follow a team is a lot better than following one player. Because then it gets all, because me personally, I was frustrated with all the team changes, because, you know, if I could support a team, like it would be so much easier. But, you know, now we have, you know, this player that I really like playing against this team that has another player, you know, that I really like, you know, because like quite frankly, like, I was a big THO Infamous fan, but to be totally honest, the only reason I was a really big THO Infamous fan was Cheeky. And everyone else, like Lethal, okay, I like Lethal, he's a cool guy, but other than that, like, I mean, back when Amish was on the team, like the only two people I really talked to mainly was Lethal, Amish, and Cheeky, mostly Cheeky. Yeah. You know, or if you look at, like, I'm trying to think of, like, I like I said, I'm a really big Washi fan and a Ninja fan, so like I like Turning Point, and you know, I'm Fear Itself is pretty cool, so you know, Final Boss, like it gets confusing, you know what I'm saying? So.
Well, I think the big problem with a lot of team games as well is that they were sticking with teams of two, teams of three. So especially with a team of three, when you get that extra one in, if you then don't place where you want to next event, they just put
drop everything
on that one person. That's basically, I mean,
that's the mentality, drop them.
And then they end up picking up somebody that just because, you know, they look at the free agent pool and it's like, it's like a, no offense to the people who were in the free agent pool, but like the quote unquote, you want to say bottom of the barrel, like, oh, well, this guy got dropped. Like, let's pick up. Yeah. We got this guy, and this guy. Let's flip a coin. We'll figure out who we're going to pick up, you know? Like,
well, I mean, and you don't have a team dynamic. You never develop one.
You're not going to get that chemistry at all.
Exactly.
So stuff needs to change.
Yeah, stuff does need to change. if Halo is going to get more popular, because wasn't there, I mean, Halo used to
decrease.
Be the. Yeah, there's been a massive decrease, and
well,
I guess
it's not just because of the competitive play of Halo, but just I mean
reach
itself.
It's definitely a combination of both, but
yeah,
I mean thinking also, about it, you kind of have to think about, okay, how much is the game itself affecting it? Because Reach of itself isn't too bad of a game. Granted, there are some flaws, but I mean we'll see what happens with Halo 4 and 343. But then you also have to look at the team dynamics and all these players interchanging hands, and it's like, well, now you don't really have any team dynamic. You don't have as good of Halo as we saw with Halo 2 and Halo 3. So there's kind of a contribution between the game side of things and then the players that are actually playing the game. And so I think one of the things that needs to happen is the teams definitely need to stick together, develop team dynamics, and provide a more entertaining experience, which I think would end up drawing more people back into Halo.
Exactly. I mean, consistency, fan base.
Yep.
I don't know if this is true from what I heard, I mean, during Columbus and Anaheim on the way, but people are actually forming teams with one goal in mind, to beat the Guard Squad.
Yes, that was true.
And I thought that's just ridiculous. You cannot just form a team just to beat them. You know, if they're good enough to win, then just let them win. Go for second, really.
Any team dynamic is going to, with time, eventually beat out a bunch of free agents.
Yeah,
exactly.
So, I mean, you granted you might not like your teammates, but the dynamic would still be there. And I think the Halo teams from LG need to take a book from professional gaming. It's like, if you're a team, you're a team. You stick together through the good and the bad. And then when the season's over, sure, switch with someone if you don't like someone. But, I mean, you...
What do you... Cheeky, what do you think if... how do you think the professional Halo community, or, you know, whatever you want to call them, like all the pros, what do you think that they would... How would they react if MLG came out with some kind of rule that said they could only switch maybe teams like one time, like a season?
I think they'd react in the beginning and see it as kind of like, you know, pushing their freedoms. But in the long run, it'll just help them. So I was talking with a bunch of people, a bunch of pro players actually, and a bunch of other people. And, you know, I came up with I was like, what do you guys think about this? You know, like, you know, right now you need two people to keep a seed, but what if you need three people to keep a seed? Or, you know, you can only make, one change during a season or two changes during a season. Or, you know, once you get a team, you have to stay with that team for the whole year or something like that. I go, what would you guys think about that? And they thought it was a decent idea, but first, what their main concern was, am I going to like my teammates? You know, are we going to get along for a whole year? You know, I don't want to play this game if I'm not making a lot of money for, you know, a long period of time where, you know, I could be going out and doing other things.
Well, that's where you almost need a good amount of time between seasons, because with professional sports, you have, I mean, granted, you have like 6 months, but even with MLG, if you gave players like a month to change teams and then 2 months to actually practice and kind of refine those teams and make last minute changes and then run the season for 9 months, I think that'd be better than having the season. And granted, I'm not exactly sure what the time frames were between last year and this year, but if you have that gap to let people kind of feel for the team, let the team dynamic grow, and then say, okay, you need to submit your teams by this time, I think that should be enough time for people to really figure out what teams they want.
In general, like, this year is going to have a really fast turnaround compared to years before, because MLG is really looking to create more competition, more days of competition. But yeah. I mean, personally, in the past, like, they had enough time, because like normally, you know, like November is normally the.
I mean, if that's the case, then
they don't start playing until like, you know,
March.
April.
Yeah.
March or April.
Well, I mean, rosters are doing like March, so.
Right, but then, I mean, it's like, if you do that, that means they had 4 months to figure out a team and develop a good team dynamic. It's like, if you don't have anything by then, and if you're switching people this often, there's something wrong with your team. Or there's something wrong with the mindset that you have of what a team actually is. At least that's my opinion.
Right, indeed.
Yeah.
So...
Just one quick thing I want to bring up is the seeding thing, how the seeding goes in pool play, because I don't think that's worked very well this season.
People rig it.
Yeah.
People rig it.
Because people will just get you on their team to get into a certain seed, because then you have an easier run, and that's completely wrong. You cannot do it that way. I think that's stupid.
Yeah, well...
They've got to change that, definitely. Find a new way to do seeding, because the way they do it is you just pick up players who have more points.
I think if we solve the whole team issue, that will be solved, because then people won't be jumping around.
Exactly. People won't be jumping ship real fast. They'll want to stay on the team
and
actually want to win.
Indeed.
Well, that would be better for the professional Halo gamers anyways.
Well, yeah.
Exactly.
What would you think would be the possibility of, like, within the next few years, a good mature team coming that reaches about their mid-20s and sticking with Halo and having kind of that mature team as an example of what a team should be. Do you think that's kind of possible out there, Cheeky or Josh? Like, because, I mean, we're dealing with a young generation right now.
Yeah. So one of my big things, I guess, about this right now is, you know, like I said, it's a money issue. And it's also an issue of, you know, the fact that we are playing a video game. And, you know, you don't know how long this video game is going to be around. So, you know, what if somebody, you know, I've given this scenario, you know, what if somebody, you know, instead of doing really well their senior year, unfortunately loses a scholarship to a college. You know, they really wanted to go to that college, but, you know, they were playing video games for the most of the time. And it's unfortunate. I mean, I hope nobody ever does this, but, you know, their parents and everybody that looks at them or, you know, is friends with them is not going to accept them back because, you know, they made a choice, but.
Right. I mean, it's kind of interesting to see, you know, the Halo professional community versus like any other professional community, because it's in general, I think that the Halo professional community is a lot younger, minus some of the veterans that are out there. Because if you look at, you know, other professional sports that are professional esports that are being, you know, played to this day, like you have people that have been playing Counter-Strike since they were like 15 and 16, and now they're like 20, 30 years old, you know. And, you know, same thing with like StarCraft, like, you know, Brood War players and things of that nature. But I think that is a big obstacle. exactly what Cheeky said. Can someone come together? Who knows? Because the thing is, you know, like you threw out the whole, like, can it happen in like, you know, 2 to 5 years or whatever. In 2 to 5 years, Halo might not even be around anymore. Right. So you really have no idea.
Talk about in a bit.
Right. You really have no idea. Like, yeah, I mean, if you think about it, you know, later on in the podcast, like, we'll probably be talking about, you know, the future of Halo actually on the circuit and where that's going to go. But, I mean, you really don't know. You don't know when the next game's going to drop. So, I don't know. I think that until Halo 4 comes out, I think it's just going to be the same old games, you know, switching teams. Like, they're probably just not going to really worry about it. Halo 4, we might see a little change in some stuff, but I don't know.
Well, you kind of hinted at something that kind of blew past my mind as I was thinking about the question, but there really isn't enough money in Halo for people to dedicate enough time.
Exactly.
Outside of having to work a job, as well as for some of these younger people going to school, going to college. So it's almost like, yes, this is really a full-time hobby on top of a full-time student or job.
Exactly.
I mean, if you look at other games in general, you know, specifically PC games, the PC esports crowd, a lot of those people can, you know, if they get picked up by a team, they can legitimately play tournaments all year. And if they place well, that can be their job. And then you also have, you know, streaming and things of that nature that bring in more money.
Right.
But what do Halo players have? Halo players have MLG and that's it. Unless they want to travel over to the UK and fight or play in the EGL?
EGL, yeah.
Yeah, and then there's one in Australia, I think, maybe. But those people don't want, you know, people who sponsor the teams at MLG, like, there's not very many out, like, esports teams that are sponsoring teams in MLG. Like, it's, you know, most of MLG team sponsorships, or should I say player sponsorships now, really, honestly, are being sponsored by, you know, people who are already MLG sponsors. So they're not going to pay for them to go play, you know, overseas. You know, the only team that I can think of, like Fnatic Classic, but they haven't sent them overseas ever. Fnatic hasn't sent them overseas.
Exactly.
And then Apex, too. So that they don't have anything. They can't make the money unless they win first place every tournament. They can't afford.
So do you think that would be a killer for games like Call of Duty and Halo in the end, or
possibly?
Well, in the end, yes. But just like we've been saying, like, if you look at the level of professionalism in other games that have constant tournaments and ways to make money, you know, you're just gonna get those people who come in and aren't dedicated, like we've seen, you know, like we've been talking about, people that aren't dedicated to sticking with teams and things like that. Like, I hate to say it, but, you know, money has a lot to do with it.
Right.
I'm not necessarily saying that MLG needs to pay out more money. I think that their prize pool is actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Especially
a lot of places.
Right. But it's I want to say that MLG, you know, there needs to be someone else to step up. And, you know, with big tournaments and have more tournaments for Halo players in order for.
I mean, it's almost like you need. I mean, if MLG got big enough to be something like an NFL or an NBA type of thing, then they could definitely hand out more tournaments. But until that happens, I think you're probably just looking at another league is going to have to end up popping up, and teams are going to have to be participating in both of these leagues.
Exactly.
And it's so hard to break out, though, because, like, if you think about it, the only other Halo tournament that I think is prevalent in the United States, and it's still not even that prevalent, is NGL. That's the only other one I can think of, because everything else is just, like, local LAN centers doing tournaments and things like that. You know, the Hangout did some tournaments, right, Rob?
He did some small tournaments. It was nothing like large scale, but right. He did some tournaments.
And then you have Geekers Gaming, which is based out of Columbus, that did a lot of tournaments. They had some players come out for that.
What if you had, and I'm just throwing stuff out there because I want to contribute something. What if you had something like a bowl series, like we have strides like Doritos and Pepsi and Stride. What if they had their own like signature tournaments at the end of the circuit or before the circuit? So there are these, I guess if you compare it to the NFL, these bowl type tournaments where it's like hosted by Stride or whatever, but it's managed by MLG and have those on top of the MLG circuit. Would that be an interesting way to do things?
What you mean, like, so keep all the tournaments, but basically have like a league running in the background,
not
at the same time or something like that.
Well, I mean, like, so the BCS bowls are basically out of season, but they're still tournaments, and or they must be like tournaments for MLG. So you have these independent company tournaments that are outside of the regular circuit. I don't know. I'm just shooting stuff.
It all comes down to if they want to put the money into it. And the thing is the companies that sponsor MLG are companies that don't necessarily don't really have a big history in sponsoring esports. So I think that they would be more reluctant to throw out even more money for these other tournaments. You know, don't get me wrong, MLG is huge. It's very successful, and they bring lots of people to see their brands and things of that nature. but I think that, you know, Dr. Pepper or, Stride might be a little more reluctant to toss out a whole bunch of money to do another tournament, with their name on it, you know, as opposed to like Kingston HyperX or NVIDIA, you know, because those guys are obviously they've been involved in esports forever.
Right. Well, I mean, that's PC side. So,
right. It's all like, in if they want to risk it or not, you know?
Yeah, it's almost like they're...
Got to risk it for the biscuit, that's why I always say.
I guess if you look at that, it might just boil down to a matter of time before we start to see these companies start to invest in esports, and maybe that's where our generation coming into some of these places might start making some changes.
Well, here's an interesting thing. If you actually look on Kotaku... A couple of days ago, there was a really interesting article that it was entitled like "How do we?" It's something to the tune of like "How do we fix esports?" or something like that.
I remember,
which I don't agree. Right, I don't agree that esports needs like fixing or whatever. But the thing in the article, I don't even know.
At least from the console side.
Right, the console side. If we're talking about the console side, you know, it definitely, you know, has some issues.
Just saying. That's nice. In the That's nice. That's a nice way to put it.
But it's Sorry. Funny because they had Kirk Carter in the interview, and he's a manager at Check 6 Gaming, and he says, you know where we're at now, even though some of these big corporations are paying attention to esports. He doesn't really believe that we're ready for that huge corporate influence, because if you think about it, you know, esports in the control of people who love esports and are passionate about it is what's growing it. But once you bring in that corporate, influence, you know, we might lose some of the pizzazz that we have, because, you know, everything's going to be influenced by money. So unfortunately, money is the solution to some things, and it's part of the problem.
Yeah.
So
yep.
That kind of
sucks. It's going to be an interesting, next, 3 to 5 years, esports.
Right.
I think we just get rid. I think we should just get rid of money.
Get rid of money. So what do you? What would you like to win instead of money, Rob?
Gum. Yeah, maybe.
How about how about a 7-day, 6-night trip to Disneyland?
I'll fire that too. Or maybe Disney World.
Disney World, Disneyland.
Space Camp.
Space Camp. I've been to Space Camp. Yeah, I went to Space Camp when I was little.
My friends and I were talking the other day. We're like, you know, the only reason I really watch like Nickelodeon shows, or I wanted to go on like a Nickelodeon game show, was because the grand prize is always like a week at Space Camp.
The fly rocket ship, yeah, rocket ship. I'm a space rocket ship.
So, have you guys been following the crazy stuff that went on today at all?
I have not.
Go into more detail, please.
Okay, more detail.
Do tell.
Sunday's tweeting.
There's some juicy information that actually just got announced. Said that he was going to leak some information about the 2012 Pro Circuit today. And so his first tweet he sent out, which is really early in the morning, and I'm quoting him now. Mind you, this is random. This is Sundance in a nutshell. This is how he tweets. He goes, "I want a dog. Also, end of February in New York City, NYC, there will be a battle. Also, who pays for first class on a 2-hour flight? Also, I need new skis." So extract the end of February in NYC, and that's kind of like a hint on the first event next season. So that's kind of cool. And then he tweets a couple hours later, he goes, NYC, surprise, London. NYC, Raleigh, NYC, Anaheim, NYC, CBUS. Now, so that pretty much means that they're going to be going to Raleigh, Anaheim, and Columbus being the national championships. And they will be doing side events in New York City, which was actually a huge surprise to me, because all signs up to this point was pointing to Columbus as being a central location that they were going to be doing tournaments out of this year. Uh-huh. Because, you know, Sundance was tweeting about it. Clap tweeted that he was going to go somewhere after Raleigh, that, you know, big things were going to be happening in 2012. And he was in Columbus because he tweeted he was like, "Hello, Columbus, what's going on?" And Sundance even like took a picture of a giant ass warehouse, and it was tagged in Grove City, Ohio, which is just south of Columbus. So all signs were pointing to Columbus, but now apparently it's going to be in New York somewhere. And someone on the MLG forums, what did they say? They said NYC actually might stand for, not yet,
confirmed.
Confirmed, yes. Not yet confirmed. So I'm like, oh man, don't tell me this.
Never use a condom.
But the surprise that Rob blurted out, the surprise, I'm predicting right now that it is some sort of
international event.
That's going to be international, because if you follow Sundance, it was in the beginning of December tweeted, I'm quoting, "Canada, France, Germany, India, UK, Brazil will make sense next year."
What was the date he tweeted that?
It was on December 11th.
Oh, December 11th. That's a long way back. Jeez.
Right. And a lot of people originally thought that it was some sort of hint with an ESL kind of partnership, kind of like they have with the GSL. That probably wasn't necessarily true or not. But I honestly would not be surprised if there is some sort of international event, whether it's in Canada, because right now Adam Apicella and Sundance are in Toronto. I think Toronto. They're in Canada. And, yeah. You know, he also mentioned France, Germany, India, UK. Like, I wouldn't put it past him for a London event or...
Yes! I've been saying that for ages. Do a London event. There's EGL London, but, like, MLG London.
Right. And all of this is nothing but speculation, because if you know MLG, until they make an official announcement, you have no idea what it's going to be.
Yeah.
And, you know, don't think that, you know, I have inside information or anything like that, because I don't. Like, I know as much as everyone else does. I just follow it, and I analyze it probably more than anyone else out there. That's just why. So, I mean, and there was huge, like, there's a thread on MLG somewhere where like some guy literally gathered all of the information that Sundance and Clap like brought together and had this huge conclusion about next season, about Columbus and, you know, the way the tournaments are going to be run and all this other stuff. It was actually a good read, but I'm sure it's like a million pages back by now. So you gotta be, wow, you gotta be like Sherlock Holmes to figure this stuff out. Before
sad to see Dallas go away. Poor Dallas.
Yeah, no Dallas, unfortunately. I'm pumped from Ohio, and I'm pumped that the national championships are in Columbus. That's all I gotta say.
I'll be up in that neck of the woods, though, starting to work. I'll be up in the Baltimore area, so I'll probably actually be able to attend more events this year.
Now, the interesting thing is people are thinking that the New York City events are actually going to be just craft tournaments. So, again, that's just speculation. So, who knows what's really going to happen.
Because StarCraft is the big gun now for MLG.
Right. And in general, they're going to be doing a lot more online tournaments, too, I believe.
For just StarCraft or for all...
For everything, I think. Because... In an interview with Forbes, Sundance said that they were looking for, I think the exact number was about 44 weeks of meaningful competition instead of the 8 that they have now. Whoa. So
that's a lot of time to play.
Yes.
Is that going to be through game battles?
Probably,
most of it will be.
Most of it will be, probably.
Okay.
So it'll be all like online invitational. Like I'm sure that most of the tournament. The way I see it, my prediction is to see, I think that they're going for a hybrid tournament layout, kind of like the GSL, where they will be doing literally tournaments every week, like matches every week, because if you've been following MLG, they have dropped almost all of their shows, and they have gotten rid of the writing staff. And this was to make room for what they consider more tournament coverage for next year, or for this year, should I say. And the way I see it is they're probably going to be running events every week leading to the actual tournament itself. And the Raleigh, Columbus, Anaheim, like those events are going to act as like season finales. And then like the New York events are going to end up being like, you know, mid-ground, you know, thing, I guess. I don't know. Who knows? It's all just, you know, hearsay and predictions. Yes.
I mean, if they do that, it'll seem so much more professional if they do that. Because then it'll be like a 10-week off-season kind of thing. So it will seem like a proper, I mean, it'll be like soccer or like football, whatever. Not like NFL, like MLS, like Major League Soccer. There'll be matches throughout the whole year. And then, like, a big, like, those cups on the side and stuff like that.
Right.
I think it would just seem so much more professional if they did that.
Right. Because the GSL does it. The ESL does it. Like, they have tournaments the GSL has a tournament every week or every day almost. They have matches. And then, you know, they have, like, the Blizzard Cup or, you know, side tournaments and things like that. And that's exactly how the ESL is set up. So I think that MLG is really gearing up to... take some of these tournaments that have been around, you know, as long or longer than, you know, MLG, and they're gonna take their model and try to create like their own hybrid version of it.
Well, good luck to them.
Going to be exciting times. I've been pumped to hear an announcement since the end of Providence, honestly.
Well, I got one today.
No, he said next week, I think, in the recent post, didn't he? He said next week, so he's gonna make an announcement.
There would be more, I'm sure it's something like that. I can't remember.
It was on the recent news about State of the... About the guys being dropped. The State of the Mind, or was it?
State of the Game?
Yeah, State of the Game.
What about State of the Game?
Well, they're basically on that post on the MLG Pro, they said that they're going to be announcing basically what's happening in 2012 next week.
Oh, okay.
So... Yeah, I mean, literally every single day, I'm just going to come back from the gym and just go, yes, what's happening?
Aww.
I'm hoping we're going to see good news for Halo, but I don't know.
Yeah. So let's talk about that now, since we're kind of running close to an hour. There was a kind of, how do I put this lightly? some issues with having Halo in the coming up in the future with how badly Reach was accepted by the professional gaming community. And I mean, granted, we've seen 343 come out with the Zero Bloom, and I'm assuming that MLG is definitely putting Zero Bloom in the circuit for next year.
Yes. Oh, yeah, God, yes. God, yes.
You can bet on it.
If they suddenly turned around and said, you know what, we want no Bloom, I think Halo would just crash and burn and just, God knows.
If they wanted Bloom.
Nah, dude, if they wanted no Bloom, Halo would just crash and burn. Don't worry about it, Josh. It's okay. No, but if they did bring back Bloom in Sprint, I'm pretty sure we wouldn't have a community anymore.
Yeah, everyone would just quit. They just say, screw this, I'm going to StarCraft 2 or Modern Warfare 3 or whatever you want to bring in. Yeah, I mean, it's not difficult. It's point and shoot. There you go.
Yeah, win-win.
So what have you guys heard about the whole Halo situation with MLG?
Well, it was really to do with another FPS coming, because I think that's what he said on his interview.
Yeah, wasn't it like Gears was questioned to be one of them?
Well, it was basically the sponsorships, the powers that be, said that Halo didn't have a good year, and they're looking from a business point of view, and they want someone else, another FPS, to be the biggest FPS.
Call of Duty.
I'm not sure it's going to be Call of Duty, but then Battlefield 3 came out with this Contender stuff. I mean, I don't know.
Battlefield 3 would be a good Contender.
Well, here's the thing.
It's too big.
I think that Battlefield 3 would only work if it was on PC, I think. And Gears is a big contender, and I don't think we'll see CSGO, even though I would love to. But honestly, just like Cheeky said, Modern Warfare 3, I don't know what it was. Like Black Ops did not have as much hype when it was entering the circuit than Modern Warfare 3 does now.
Yeah.
And if you look at the community, like you have Golden Boy, he's doing like weekly tournaments on his Twitch TV. And you have Corey Dunn that are like, they are making huge strides trying to bring Modern Warfare 3 to head like at MLG. So
I still, personally, I still don't see the attractiveness of Call of Duty, but that's just me, I guess.
I didn't enjoy watching Black Ops. I watched some Modern Warfare 3. I don't even own Modern Warfare 3. If you gave me a choice that I would either have to watch Halo all day or Modern Warfare 3 all day, I would still watch Halo.
Yeah.
But both are not a good choice.
Halo to me is still a more balanced game over Call of Duty, because I could be shooting at someone with like a AK-47 or something, whatever. And like someone else could just turn around instantly and kill me with the same gun just because of the random spray that they get compared to my spray. And Halo seems more balanced in terms of, okay, if you start shooting someone, 9 times out of 10, you're going to kill that person before they kill you.
Well, only since No Bloom came in.
Right.
Yeah. Only since No Bloom.
Well, okay. Yeah, granted, there was
that's
that.
The only reason why.
But, I mean, even then, with the Bloom, Halo still seemed like a more balanced game.
Well, the whole point with Bloom is that the randomness of basically the fifth shot, that you have to either time it, but if you spray, then it could go anywhere, pretty much.
Which, I'm going to go on a rant, just a really, like, 5-second rant. I just want to say that I know that Halo didn't have, like, this whole Bloom mechanic or whatever, but I think the whole argument about, wow, Bloom is, like, totally not fair, not professional, if you look at every single, like, competitive FPS that has been around,
it
like,
has Bloom.
Especially looking at Counter-Strike, if you've ever played Counter-Strike, if you're using an automatic weapon and you don't tap it, like, you're not going to kill anyone ever. So, like, I like No Bloom, don't get me wrong. I like shooting lasers at people and not having to worry about how fast I shoot. But
at the same time, like,
you can get used to it, seriously.
Yeah, I did get used to No Bloom. I mean Bloom, sorry.
Yeah, that's just me, and that's my rant.
End rant.
End rant.
You got to look at it from the point of view of I mean, let's say you're in the finals of the national championships. Let's say it's 49-all, the game's tied 5-all, and then something happens that Bloom just screws up the final kill, and then someone does that. I mean,
it's part of the game.
Well, yeah, dude,
that's
$40,000
shot. FYI, that's $40,000 shot. Just saying.
Yeah, that's $40,000 on a Bloom randomness kill.
But I mean, you do have to look at it objectively as it is a game mechanic.
Or what about in Halo 2 and Halo 3? What if the BR
spread, yeah, exactly.
BR spread, yeah. Which in essence is like it's not as bad as Bloom, but there was still a spread. Like, let's say you weren't leading that guy just right and you missed that one shot, the one bullet. You can make the same argument.
I think it's just more evident because of the visual feedback that you get from Reach.
Right. Yeah, if they
didn't make the reticle go out.
Yeah, what if they had Bloom but didn't have the reticle? Like, no one would ever know. Like, it probably wouldn't even be such a big deal, honestly. But I don't know. Personally, you want to hear my solution to the Bloom problem was not to get rid of Bloom. My solution was to make it so severe and punish you for stimming that you had to pace your shots, because that's what every other FPS, competitive FPS, is pretty much like. Talking about the history of FPSs in esports, that was my solution. But
I can agree on LAN that Bloom wouldn't be so much of a problem. But then you got to look at the online practice. But basically, if you're a host, you pretty much had, well, not no Bloom, but limited Bloom. You couldn't get the online practice with Bloom that you can do now in no Bloom.
Because the host is so
weighted on host. Well, yes, but that's where everyone practices for the events. If you can't practice properly for the events, then you're not going to place well at the events.
I mean, the same goes for like Call of Duty. Or Gears.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it was just
in general. I mean, it's a well-known fact that if you want to get, you know, the proper practice in any game that you play, that you play it on LAN, except for the games that you can't play on LAN. Blizzard.
Well, I mean, speaking of LAN, you might as well touch on it. The new LAN network. What's everyone's view on that?
I think it's a cool idea. I was kind of sad to see it go. I think if the guy who bought it, I can't remember his name. I think if he can make money off of it, I think it will actually end up staying this time around. And I think if he hosts enough events and tournaments in between, season or in between events and the season, I think that it'll be a great way for teams to, you know, stay in practice, especially in a whole LAN situation. So
I think it'd be good, because, I mean, where's the LAN network going to be set up now? I mean, where is it stationed?
Indianapolis, Indiana.
I mean, if they have one, not in, let's say, in every single state, but if they have some spaced out over the country, and that could be, like, the major LAN station.
Yeah, one in the south, one central, or central east, one on the east coast, and one on the west coast.
MLG, like, a year or two ago, like, this is a long, like, this literally is, like 2 or 3 years ago, Adam Apicella went on the losers bracket on BVV and straight up said that they were looking to start a LAN center initiative where players can go to sanctioned tournaments at LAN centers to receive seeding points for the pro event. And also, you know, he almost wanted it to turn into like a like that franchise type thing, because, you know, those LAN centers would be given so much, you know, support to send whatever teams win their tournaments to, like, the events and everything, which would end up, you know, turning into, you know, hopefully teams sticking together and all that other stuff. But it never happened. You know, will it happen?
That would almost come back to the idea of the franchise thing, where you have teams from regions, and then
that's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I think that I really want that to happen. I want, let's say, Final Boss to be situated
it makes sense
in Michigan, or just pick a state just basically just say, they are situated there. That is the final boss area. If you want to land final boss, you go there. Kind of thing.
Well, and then, like, for it would be easier on MLG because then you have these events at the land centers, and then you can have, like, maybe two or three big national events.
Hmm.
So you could have a spring event, a summer event, and then a fall event. And then the winter event would be the off-season or something like that.
Unfortunately, this is not something that's going to be happening in the next couple of years. But who knows? In 5 years' time, we could be...
People might get smart and do stuff.
we could have predicted it. So we should technically trademark and copyright all the stuff we're saying now so we get paid.
I already did.
Oh, okay. That's good.
Glad someone's on the ball.
Yeah. Although, do you only have your name on that?
Yeah, I expect some royalty from that.
Yeah.
No comment.
I mean, it's just going to be a matter of seeing how professional gaming and MLG grows. I mean, it's more than likely going to change over the next 3 to 5 years and even change after that. So, I mean
the basic point is, year on year on year, MLG has just got bigger and bigger and bigger, and it's going to keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And it's basically tied to the industry of video games. However video games progress, how well they sell, is going to be, it'll depict how well MLG does. Right. If video games excel, that's MLG will excel. Simple as that. Have you seen or
witnessed anything? Do we have anything, or do we know anything specific about Halo? I'm assuming it's just going to be, they are going to bring back Reach, and then they're just going to kind of see what happens with Halo 4.
Yeah, they're working on the game types. They've been testing them on the off season, and quite frankly, with the way kind of like Halo Reach kind of died down, I think the big saving throw with Reach was how the community kind of got together, especially with projects like the one that Cheeky's involved in with Halo Nation. I think websites like that, as well as like the Halo Council, and like just kind of everyone coming together to like kind of save the community. I think without that, I don't know if we would have seen it on the circuit this year, but. At the same time, I think that that MLG wants to at least keep it just to see what Halo 4 brings. And if Halo 4 does not deliver what the professional community wants, then that will probably be the nail in the coffin.
Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah.
Or if it does, the other nails will come out.
So, quick question for you guys, and this is kind of off topic, kind of on topic. What would you guys think of having something like Atlas being used as a coach tool for Halo 4? Like, if they actually managed to have...
No.
No?
Well, that was quick.
Yeah, we have a pro coach here. He says no.
All right. I mean, when I first...
Also, I mean, it's cool and all, maybe in a matchmaking setting, but if there's money on the line, I mean, it's nice to know where your teammates are, but you have to, like... I basically picture the map in my head, and I like have like 4 points, and I'll route them in my head as to exactly where they're going.
All right. Or GD actually has AI implanted into his head.
Yeah. Like, or by playing the game so much, I know exactly where everything is, and exactly how some situations will play out. But
I mean, I tried playing with it like when I was just playing matchmaking regularly.
Yeah,
it's probably it doesn't help because you have to pay attention at the screen and you really can't look over to see the map. So the only other application I can think of is, this would be good in a tournament setting where, one, either you give the spectators an overhead view of everyone on the map, or two, somehow coaches would be able to use it. And I guess you just shot that one down with an affirmative no. So, there's really no effective, from what I can tell, there's really no effective use for Atlas other than having it presented to a third party that would be interested in the game that's not actually playing the game at the time. I mean, other than that, yeah, it's a cool tool, and it's nice to see what they can do with the API, but other than that, it's kind of useless.
Yeah, very true. It is.
I only saw it when they announced it, so I don't really know a lot about it.
I think it's more directed towards social players.
What else would be needed to be added or taken away from it in order to think that you could use it as an effective tool in tournaments? Is there anything that you can think of?
I don't think that would be a tool that coaches should use because it's giving away a lot, I think. That's how I feel, and I don't think, you know, I don't know. I don't know. I have an opinion against it, and I just don't like it. Let's just say that.
All right. It's your opinion. That's fine.
Yeah, but I mean, like another thing with it is, like, it only works online, and in a LAN setting, you're not online.
Well, I mean, that's what I mean. It would have to be able to work in a LAN setting.
Yeah.
Exactly. Assuming that it could, would you use it was kind of what I was going for.
Yeah. No, I still
wouldn't. That answer was no.
Yeah, that answer was no. But, I mean, doesn't it make sense as where the only applicable use of it would be something like in tournaments?
Yeah, well, I mean, like, so an idea I had was, you know, basically, you know, how the NFL, you know, they have one playing field, and, you know, baseball, they have one playing field. You know, what if, you know, kind of like, you know, StarCraft, they have one playing field. You know, you can see everything. You know, what if Halo became like one playing field? Sort of where, you know, you could draw out, you know, players taking routes and, you know, players doing this and players doing that on like a screen,
yeah.
You know, kind of like you know, John Madden does after a play or something like that, or, you know, with the X's and the O's and so on and so forth. You know, I think that'd be pretty cool. You know,
that's interesting.
I know Bungie has something like that and they have it up on their website, which is like the kills, but it doesn't really show
the heat maps.
Yeah, it doesn't really show, you know, what the person was thinking at the time, or, you know,
it just shows you where they got the kill from.
Exactly, and the commentators don't really have the tool of having, like, a spectator.
So it'd be more like a spectator/commentator tool.
Yeah, or, like, you know, YouTuber kind of tool. Okay. I'd like to use it during, if I had, you know, I want to start creating a lot of YouTube content.
Or if you wanted to coach or something, you could draw up, like, a full team on the map, and then that'd be interesting.
Well, yeah. I mean, I did see a lot
343, if you're listening to this, which I know some people are. If it happened.
But it's interesting, because if you look at, like, the PC Battlefield, like, the way they do their casting and stuff, like, they have a tool like that already when they cast games. Like, in Battlefield 2, when they had professional games being casted, like, they have, like, an overview map that they can use to, like, pick out which player they want to, like, look at. Like, a tool like that would be ridiculous for casting.
Well, I mean, it's basically a simplified version of a spectator view.
Yeah.
So
I'd love a spectator mode, too. That'd be beautiful.
I've been asking for that for 3 years. No, seriously, if you go back and listen to some of the podcasts, which, I mean, I don't expect you guys to, I've been saying, put in a spectator view.
Yeah, that's basically, if we had a spectator view, this game would be, like, a million times better, I think.
You know, I mean, then the commentators could fly around and point stuff out.
Exactly, and that's something that we're missing.
And, I mean, Atlas is almost like the halfway point, so even Atlas at this point would be a good compromise.
Yeah.
So,
okay, well, they also need ranking.
Don't get me started.
Don't even get me started.
You guys can start if you want, but
it's not gonna.
I think we've been going on long enough. This would I could talk about this for another hour.
Maybe we'll save that for another show.
There'll be blood and tears and so much other bodily fluids that you won't want to see. That
Jack, we do not want to see your bowels.
No.
Oh, goodness. So I guess before we wrap up, any predictions that you guys want to make? I know it's kind of hard to make them at this point with all the team changes, but...
Or is that, like, what teams are going to be?
Teams, players. I mean, you might not have anything.
Honestly, I don't have anything because until the first event, people are going to be switching teams like crazy.
Yeah, and I'm still not on a team yet, so I don't know.
Right. Is there anything you guys are?
Digit.
Is there anything you guys are expecting specifically from this season for the Halo brackets, or is it just kind of a wait and see type of thing?
Yeah, I mean, until we see what's going on in 2012, you're not gonna know. We don't know how things are gonna work out, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
if you did a show, if you could do a show like a week before the event, that would be a good question to ask.
Yeah.
Well, maybe I'll have you guys back on just a week before the quote unquote February
NYC.
Yeah. NYC debut at the 2012 circuit. So, if I'm still unemployed at that point, I might go to the event. So
that'd be nice.
We will see. I plan on attending, I want to say, at least two events this year.
There you go.
So, and since I'll be up in the DC area, Raleigh and Columbus are closer to me. So, but I think that pretty much wraps up this show, unless anyone else has any other comments to make on the circuit for the next year.
I don't. I'm just excited to see what's going to happen. I can't wait for the announcement. It's pretty much where I'm at.
Just yeah, do next week's podcast. Make sure you make some reference on it next week. Also, we should say, should we all? I wasn't gonna say sing happy. Well, we'll do that in a second. But I wasn't gonna say sing happy birthday. But I think we should say something to Dust.
Really, you're gonna put me through that humiliation?
It is Dust's birthday.
Kinda.
Kind of.
Not yet.
It's
listen to this, it'll be his birthday.
It's close. And
everyone
since this will release on my birthday, make sure you guys pay attention to Twitter because I am putting out a lot of codes tomorrow or today.
What kind of
codes? some avatar goodie codes.
No. You went to a secret government building, nuclear launch codes.
Yes, those are my favorite kind of codes.
Dude, mine too, man.
I have some avatar codes that I'm giving away to
cool beans.
In for a celebration of my birthday. Someone say they wanted to do some shout outs?
Yeah. So I guess I want to do some shout outs. Big shout out to my sponsor, Gamma Labs. Big shout out to my other sponsor, Quantified Boarding. Shout out to you guys for doing this. I appreciate it for having me on. And
Thank you for coming.
Shout out to my roommate, Tom, looking like a boss. I guess that's it for my shout outs. And thanks.
You're going to shout out to me? What the hell?
Oh, you're on the show though. Do you need a shout out?
Yeah, I do.
Well, hopefully.
Oh, hold on. Can I redo that?
What about Real Halo Nation?
Can I redo that?
Sure, redo it if you want.
All right, so here we go again.
All right, so
shout out to my sponsor, Gamma Labs. You know the big things they're doing with the Halo community. Shout out to Bonafide Boarding. Shout out to Boss Fight TV.
Yeah, boy.
Shout out to all my staff over at Halo Nation, trying to help me out with that, trying to get things rolling with our competitive community. Shout out to my roommate Tom, kid's a baller, and shout out to my boy Josh for getting me on this. What's good?
Yeah, what's
up? Hopefully, this will get some good press on MLG. If you guys can repost it for me, since
I can
do some tweeting.
Yeah. So
I'll post this up on Boss Fight TV.
All right. If you guys are hearing this from Boss Fight or from MLG, drop us a line or Twitter's Podtacular, and just let us know that they sent you. Thank you guys for coming. Did anyone else have any shoutouts? Josh or Mac?
Robert said it. There's a website I've been running that follows esports news and as a whole, including Halo. And so BossFight.tv, we do a weekly show. So we do talk about Halo, although Halo's been kind of dormant since MLG's been in the
league. Right.
It's really, like we said, there's really nothing to really talk about on the front of Halo at the moment, except for all the team changes. But like I said, those don't matter anyways.
Right.
Just shout out to all my staff at Boss Fight. Shout out to Dustin, happy birthday!
Thank you.
I don't know. I didn't really have a list set up. So, iHeart Esports. I gotta say, shout out to iHeart Esports as well. Jason Tugman. He's a cool guy. He makes awesome stickers, esports related stickers. So check out iHeartEsports.com. A lot of cool stuff coming out of there. And yeah, shout out to my mom.
Ooh, we got a mom shout out. Wow, mama's like boy.
Same, man.
Yeah, you that's cool. That's cool.
Your mom.
It's classy. It's really classy.
People love their mama.
I love my mama. I'm in my mama's house right now, so I love my mama. She loves me.
Wait, you only love her because you're in her house right now?
No, that's not the only reason.
You're superficial.
I'm saying the reason I'm in her house is because she loves me. All right. Well, thank you guys for listening. Hope this episode was appealing to the masses. Even if you don't follow MLG that closely, there is some good talking points in here that I think you guys might have found interesting. For the MLG crowds, hope this wasn't boring for you. I think we actually did pretty well, and I actually was able to contribute something. So I guess the next time we'll be doing an MLG-related show is around the time that MLG starts up for that first event. So in late February, you should see another MLG show coming around.
Wink, wink.
Yep. And if you like the show, please you go ahead, come over to our website, and at least just comment on the front page saying that you found us wherever this got posted or whoever sent you. So that way we know that if more people are interested, we'll start doing more MLG-related shows.
Agreed. Also,
And we'll have people like Cheeky on. We'll have more MLG personalities on.
I can get you anybody you want.
All right. I'll be counting on you on that. I'll go ahead and add you on Skype just for that. How about that?
Except Walshy. I mean, I don't know.
Clearly, I'm not good enough anymore.
You just got replaced, son.
I'm sorry.
That's not true. It's not.
Oh, okay. As long as I'm still invited to these.
Oh yeah, you're definitely invited. Yeah.
Wait, do you guys have Twitters?
Yes.
Yeah.
Should we go ahead and share Twitters for everyone?
Yeah.
That works too.
All right. Mine is at Duststorm.
Mine is at CheekyMLG.
I already follow you.
I think it's for the people listening, Jack.
Oh.
Primarily.
Yo, Cheeky, at least you got a fan now. You got a fan down here.
Jack.
Josh, what's yours?
Oh, man. I'm a MLG anti-pro.
Right. Jack, what's yours?
And I'm at Jackfire, but it's J-A-K, so not J-A-C-K.
Right.
At Jackfire.
And Podtacular is at Podtacular.
No shit.
Well, thank you. See if you're back on the show. Gosh.
All right.
Well, thank you guys for listening in. I want to thank you guys, Josh, Antipro, Jack, and Cheeky for coming out. And see you guys.
Thank you for having me.
Peace. Thank you for considering.
'Kay, so Josh or Cheeky, you have the privilege of reading out the intro. Do either of you guys want to do it?
Yo, what is the intro?
It's basically the show title, so I'm typing it out. Hang on.
Do I get to say it in a sexy man voice?
You can if you want.
Whatever you like.
Josh, that's your good. That's your role. You're going. You're going.
You don't want to do it?
No, dude. You got a sexy voice. Let's go. I want to hear this so I can keep playing it back and back and back to myself.
But I love how the podcast has even started. Dust has just thrown a f*** you up my
way. Why, hello there. Why, hello there, Podtacular, episode 270, future of MLG. for January 12th. I don't even know. Are you doing my radio announcer voice? Hello, and what's going on today? It's Podtacular 270. We're going to be talking about the future of MLG today on January 12th, 2012.
Why don't you just do a range of them? I'll put them in the very beginning as like blooper stuff. Since you're on a roll.
Like, why, hello, my friends. Today we are talking about the Podtacular episode 270, where we'll be discussing the future of MLG on January 12th, 2012. Stay frosty, my friends.
FPS Russia for the win.
There you go. I like that one. I think we should open with that one.
Oh man, I'm trying to think.
Oh my gosh.
My name's Forrest Gump. We're going to be talking about Podtacular 270, future of MLG on January 12th, 2012. Or, hold on, here's my Dale Jr. impression. All right, what's going on there, guys? Man, we're going to do Podtacular 270, future MLG, January 12th, 2012. Yeah. Left turns all day. I'm going to piss so many people off.
Did you say left turns all day?
Left turns all day.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, shit. I almost spilled my Coke everywhere. That would have been bad. And by Coke, I mean cocaine.
Oh, shit. Yo, I got to go get Coke. I bought a bottle of Captain. I got to go buy some Coke.
Oh, man. I don't even know. I don't even have any more voice. I mean, I do have voices. Like, it would be like...
Well, I'm sure you could do enough voices to go
through. It's Podtacular 270, future of MLG. See, that voice is just bad. You can't do that.
It's like the heavy from Team Fortress.
I don't even know.
It was like cross between Schwarzenegger and something in the Europe.
Sound like Bugs Europe. Bunny.
What?
That sound like Buck 20?
Sound like Bugs Bunny.
I thought it sounded like Buck 20. Just like, have you ever heard how Buck 20 sounds?
Oh, yo.
Bugs Bunny.
Doesn't sound like that.
I know.